Do you have the courage to walk away from the life you're living, to heed your calling? Steve Farrell, co-founder of Humanity's Team, joins us as we delve into spiritual awakening, the transformative power of embracing your divine calling, and the vision of conscious living being mainstream by 2040. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. We are exploring the mystical side of life once again this week. If you enjoy our conversations, remember to subscribe, share with a friend. Today, I have the co-founder and executive director of Humanity's Team, Steve Farrell, with me. Welcome, Steve.
Linda, thanks so much for having me. Been looking forward to this program with you.
Steve, you stepped into a life of service. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, I would love to start there. Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the Conversations with God series, and I started a 501c3 nonprofit in June 2003. And our focus was very narrow and deep, as it is today, to make conscious living pervasive worldwide by 2040. And that was not something that we created in the old Western style at the blackboard of, oh, what should our mission be? And we go around the room. This was a download. This was a download from the Most High. There's so many challenges, of course, in today's world. The individuals are challenged and weary, fatigued. I won't share more, we know. And then, of course, in the collective, it's very challenging. The drumbeat of extreme weather and all these other things that are going on. And from a Humanity's Team perspective, there actually is a remedy right here, right now. And that remedy is to live consciously, which brings in two things, because conscious of what? So conscious of two things. One, that we're not separate at all. And many people probably are familiar with the Albert Einstein quote from 1921, 102 years ago, that the greatest illusion in the world is the illusion of separation. And he called it an optical delusion that creates a prison for us. Now, what's interesting is then he had this other very short quote that goes right straight at the solution. And he said, no problem can be solved at the level of consciousness that created it. Our problem then, as we look at microcosm and macrocosm, and of course the two are linked, is when one's challenged, the other will be challenged. We're not separate at all, which of course is a mystical teachings that go back to Plato and Hippocrates, which was around 450 BCE, 2,500 years, that there's no plural in consciousness. And then that truth leads to the other truth, which is that it's actually a spiritual universe. So the primacy of the spiritual or of the soul, not of the physical. And it's these two things. It's, oh, we're separate, which we grew up with that science, right? We're physical bodies and we're all separate. And the physical bodies means it's bones and dust at the end of this life. It's all over and we're 6 feet under. And it's very appropriate where we're separate and there's just one life and it's all over to just go gather unlimited treasure, right? And not be in service. And that's a serious thing, really. But where science now is affirming these mystical truths, and of course, the science is all over the place, and quantum physics in particular now, that says, no, Einstein was right. Everything is deeply interrelated and interconnected and interdependent. And maybe the best way of describing is that there is a universal consciousness that's animating all of life. So there's one presence, which is the universe and the cosmos that's omnipresent. And that's bringing in this whole spiritual universe and our soul's calling and living vibrationally and living in service and these things. So this is the remedy. This is the remedy, is just saying, oh my God, ultimate reality is not what I thought it was, that I'm separate and that I'm primarily a physical body. My eyes have been opened. I'm awake now. And then, of course, we live the delicious life. And then when we get to 8% of us that live this way, boom, we get to tipping point. We create this sustainable and flourishing planet. So sorry for the long response to your question, Linda. That is what humanity's team is focused on.
A couple of things popped in while you were talking. The first one being the download, that you received a download. I'm so curious because I know when I receive downloads, it's not just like a piece of information or inspiration. It's like a packet of information that comes and unfolds. So I'm curious what your download suggested.
So there were a couple of downloads here, probably more than a couple, but two that are huge in this. The first one is in Neil's Conversations with God book called Tomorrow's God. And the whole decision to launch humanity's team is surreal. Neil says, oh, we should launch humanity's team. And God says, yeah, and it could do this. And humanity's team can be this and that. And it's surreal, really, that the God of the whole universe is here, sitting here talking with Neil about launching humanity's team. And when we did our planning session there in the spring of 2003, this download, which was inscribed right there in the book, was very big. Now, the second download, which was an update to it, was back about a year and 9 months ago. Neil and I were collaborating and saying, God, this whole drumbeat of extreme weather and war, and the people look quite worried and even disempowered. And let's step it up here, is our conversation. So we said, yes, let's create an initiative called Changing Humanity's Future. It's all about this. And we said, yeah, let's do that. In fact, if you go to changinghumanitiesfuture.org or .com, you'll see the initiative. And then we said, let's launch this massively. And we're even going to reference what God said in all of these books, including his last book called Awakening the Species, which is a really important book. We actually created a masterclass just around it. And then the download actually came to me in this case of Make Conscious Living, which is These Things Were One, and it's a spiritual universe. Make it pervasive worldwide by 2040. So we were ready to go big and put God's name all over it. And then I fell to my knees, honestly, in the shower one morning as we were getting ready to launch. And I said, God, I can't go here in your name and just say, God, this and that, and this and that, unless I know, like, with certainty that you're wanting us to do this. I do not want to do this otherwise. And the next day in the afternoon, I was coming down the stairs, and we've got a lot of windows out the back of the house. And there was this bird that was white that was flying straight to the house. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. It's unusual. What is this bird? That I was even looking out the window. And then I see this bird and I was like, what the heck is that? And I walk out back and to the side of the house, and I look up, and at the apex of the roof, a perfect white dove had landed. And it was looking down at me. And I was like, oh my God, I've never even seen a perfect white dove. And so I went and got my wife, and then we videoed this whole thing. It sat there for 30 minutes and it just looked at me for 30 minutes and would not fly away, just looked at me. And I was like, yeah, okay, I got it. Okay, I got the miracle. You don't need to throw another one at me. I'm all in, and here we go. And Neil and I had a good chuckle about that, actually, that affirmation. And of course, he had the first affirmation.
I don't know about you, Steve, but I always find the prayers and intentions that I do in water, whether it's the bathtub, the shower, or out at the lake, they seem to be supercharged. And I think that's because water is so conductive.
Yeah, it does. A lot of the great inspirations come like in the shower or the tub, or yes, they do. And I was not expecting, I didn't know what to expect, which is how this works, right? You're down on your knees. You're like, oh my God, give me a sign that just is beyond any refute. And I didn't even know what the heck I was looking for. But that whole thing was, of course, so magical that I didn't need to even think about it anymore after that.
So, Steve, you mentioned 8% as the tipping point. In some ways, that's very encouraging, right? A lot of people think that number has to be higher. But 8% is still a good chunk of people on this planet.
It is. Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, a pain is often the driver, as we know, when we talk about behavior change and following our calling and so on. And unfortunately, as we know, the pain is actually, this drumbeat of pain is getting bigger, higher, stronger. And I think also post-COVID, people just really were feeling into, what are my deeper values here? How can I live my life more in alignment with something that is meaningful to me, a purpose and agenda? So our work is nothing but just taking off in humanity's team. And one of the things that we were led to do as well was to create transformational education programs focused just on conscious living. We created a streaming platform that's really unbelievable. If you go into the library and look at the hundreds and hundreds of programs, video trainings and the live programs and things, which is supporting people on the conscious journey. Education is the most powerful tool when we talk about the transformation of humanity. So it was another thing we were led to, of start an education, now create an amazing streaming platform, then create a one-for-one giveaway, one for each paid subscription, all of these things. Our North Star, which comes back to really the first question you asked, Linda, is, and why I think I'm here, is before I transition, let's really allow this thing to come into its fullness, this 8%, where it's not everywhere yet, but it's so pervasive that people are like, wow, this, and they're looking at you and me and these, so many, all of your viewers, right? They're conscious. That's why they're listening and saying, there's something that seems pretty nice about what's going on here. This being state, and which is this delicious, what I call the delicious living, which is conscious living. And yes, so we get to that 8%, and I have no doubt but that we'll flip right into it.
Without question, there is a huge transformation taking place on the earth. And you're right, it does seem to be catalyst from pain and drama and trauma. Hopefully, we'll learn how we can grow and evolve through opening instead of through pain. Did the downloads highlight a path forward?
The downloads that we get are just that there's a single mountaintop, which is this omnipresence, this perfect light, this perfect love, right? There's no omni path to that, up to and including Conversations with God books, and there are 9 of them. If people have read those books, the books go out of their way to share, this is not the be all and end all. And of course, it also shares that you have to go within or you go without. So this is not Moses standing here with some tablet in his hand. People are invited to just take that wisdom in, bring it to your daily practice. Is this true for me? If it's not true, then throw it out. And if it is true, then to live fully into it. So what we've endeavored to do in humanity's team is just to identify the best practices in spirituality and science with Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Nassim Harriman, Dean Radden. I could go on. There are many scientists there. And embodied practices. As we know, embodied practices actually are the really big one that we come into from spirituality and science, where whether it's yoga or breathing, or daily practice in other forms. It's this combination of education where we're reaching into and participating in all of these things that our own conscious living really stretches into more. It becomes fuller. And of course, there's no perfect destiny. In our understanding, it's like a spiral staircase that we just keep climbing and climbing. There's no upper limit to where we can go. So that's really what we encourage is, as we get started here on the journey, or for that matter, if we've been in this decades, as you have, Linda, and as I have, education, where we just keep strengthening ourselves through education. And then, of course, what follows that is the embody and express part. What good does it do to understand things and it's your truth if we're not living into it? And then the third part, which we're having fun with here now, which is engaging others, inviting people to this delicious living, conscious living, where we have a whole different relationship with our partner and our kids and coworkers and the world.
I really love that you mentioned that all paths lead to the same place. Some of them are more direct and some of them are quite diverse, let's say, but every soul is going to get there eventually.
Every soul, yeah. In fact, you can't miss. You can't miss. Now, we are... Again, science is affirming these mystical teachings that we are indeed one. So the properties of the one, which we like to use the term the divine or God, in humanities team, though my scientist friends, I named a few, will use cosmos and universe, and that's fine. But where we understand that it is the one and that we were designed to be part of its body, and that means if we're mature, connection equals responsibility equals positive action. In our red blood cells and our white blood cells and our organs, this is what they do as part of our body. This is our invitation. We're designed as part of this one to live, to be healthy cells in that body. And I'm sure it's why you created your podcast here, Linda. The more we give away or we're in service, there are different ways to say this, the better we feel. It's really as simple as that, because we are designed to be part of this body. And in my book, A New Universal Dream, where I tell about my journey from 12-year-old to today, I went through Silicon Valley, where I was in the private jet world. I lived that life. And it's a mirage, that whole delicious living thing, because you get to the 100 million and you celebrate, and then, well, we're off for 200 million. And I shouldn't laugh, because there's a lot of stress and tension on relationships. And so it isn't delicious living, just the whole financial side. Whereas this side, where we're really stretching into it, we do this education thing, we're embodying, expressing our truths, we're living as a part of the one, as sons and daughters of God. I'll just say it that way. I like the spiritual terms, though. We're inclusive, so we invite everybody to speak their own truth. I believe that we were sent here now, where we're in the middle of this great pivot, right, to this whole new shift in how we live on this planet, so we can create a sustainable and flourishing planet for future generations. We're not pointed toward that right now. As we awaken and start living into it, then I believe many of us will fulfill our mission. I think that's why we were born into the world now, to participate in this pivot, this shift. And again, it feels so good. Why would we want to live any other way anyway?
You obviously led a very different life before this one. How did your spiritual awakening present itself?
I did. I started my first company in 1990. And it was in this area of network integration, communication systems for global campuses like the Gap and Esprit and even Apple Computer. We had these huge organizations. We were designing their data backbones for their not only campus, but for their global campuses and linking them all together, designing them, installing them, supporting them. The first company was this, an integration company. The second one was all pure consulting. So we didn't sell any products. They both went to $75 million from zero. So really, wow, I was right there in the 90s in the middle of all of that that people would read about. Now, what happened is in the middle of the 1990s, I read Neil's first book, Conversations with God, Book One. And the way that felt to me then, and it feels to me now, is that we all are having conversations with God all the time, right? There's no separation. That's part of what the mystical teachings are, which are true. But wouldn't it make sense that there would be one big grand global conversation addressing the greatest challenges of our time? Who are we? Why are we here? And bam, Book One comes out with all of this wisdom. And it wasn't just me. It was 137 weeks. The book was on the New York Times bestseller list. So people all over the world were like, where did this wisdom come from? So I thought the whole planet was going to shift overnight with this wisdom. Turned out maybe everybody wasn't quite ready to take all of those steps. But this is where my personal awakening happened, and where day by day, week by week, month by month, my passion for just being a business person dropped away. And it was a calling, which I believe, again, your viewers are having even right now, a calling to conscious living, where God was saying to me, Steve, there's a much bigger role you can play. In some ways, this is a kid's game, growing these companies, and good for you, and you've learned a lot and so on. But there's a much bigger role for you than this. And so I listened and sold everything and left these business associations. And then I went on to co-found Humanities Team with Neil.
Do you think that everyone has a calling?
I do. And what was going on with me, so I'm going to share this, because if there's anybody viewing this program where they're not exactly sure what that is, this is what was going on for me. There was cognitive dissonance, okay, which was what led me fully into my calling. Because on the one hand, and I grew up as one of seven with a single mom who worked full time, who was divorced in a little home on the East Coast. And then I just shared, wow, I really went out into the fullness of that whole wealth creation thing, there was a part of me that was like, God, this is incredible. Private jets and private ski areas and things like that. And then there was the cognitive dissonance of, with everything going on in the world, is this really where you're supposed to be right now? And that back and forth thing. And as I was paying attention to that higher purpose voice, I'll call it my soul's calling, I then walked through all the doors that I was asked to walk through, leave this, leave that, move my family to Boulder, Colorado from Silicon Valley, start humanities team, all these things. And the cognitive dissonance went away and this delicious living surfaced in its place. So yes, we're listeners are in that place that we all find ourselves in somewhere in our life of, wow, I'm just not sure. You will be led. Okay. Just take that time to go into your daily practice and ask the question of, what am I being led to? What is my invitation here? What's my station in life? I promise you'll be given clarity and as to the vision. And as has been stated over time, wherever there's vision, you're always given provision. So the provision, all of that support will come. Just trust. And I did these things. And so the clarity comes to that question of, why am I here? But then there's so much more as we trust and go out on that journey.
And I am completely confident that first part of your life served a very important purpose to help you fulfill the calling.
It did in so many ways. In so many ways. One is I was the middle kid when the seven. The middle kids listen. They're not out. They're not the speakers on stage and stuff. That's not what the middle kids do. The middle kids just listen well and they connect well and they're trusted by others and stuff. I had a great deal to learn about everything, about how to go out and talk about things that I believed in and then to create teams and recruit and then create a culture where we could really create great things together. I didn't know any of that stuff. I had to learn all of that stuff. And there was so much more with the conscious journey. Again, this is why I wrote my book, because I wrote it for people on the conscious journey. On the one hand, there are incredible opportunities, and we've come back to them several times, Linda, where we talk about this delicious living and we're following our calling and things. And I know people can feel that in our words. On the other hand, there were huge challenges where I left IBM to start my first company. In 1990, entrepreneurship was not the thing. It was like, what are you doing? Leaving this career. And then if you thought that was bad, wow, at the end of the 90s, when I said, there's a spiritual calling here, I'm selling everything, I'm leaving these business associations. Governor Newsom was in my chapter, my business, and other people like him. And I left them, said goodbye, I got a spiritual calling. People thought I'd lost my mind. So there are great challenges and there are great opportunities. And that tends to be how these personal callings work. I'm sure I'm pushing buttons all over the place here for people because I'm sure they're thinking into their own challenges and their own opportunities. I had to grow through them and just stay true to that soul's calling. And that's really the path, I believe, for all of us that are on this conscious journey.
It's really important for them to hear that, Steve, that the path does appear beneath our feet, but it takes some effort to actually step on that path and to let go of the things that we thought were true for us or we thought was the path for us. And then something new can present itself. So it's important. I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah. Thank you. No, the persevering is maybe the hardest part, and not just those moments where everybody thinks you've made a huge mistake, and those are very challenging, but the persevering, because even though I'm confidently sharing vision, provision, and things, don't let me have you believe that from day to day, week to week, or even month to month, it was all some sense of high confidence and everything's working, because there were great, massive challenges along the way where I had to really, with my daily practice, stay in my truth. I am not alone. I am one. I am a son of the Most High, just as everybody listening here is a daughter or son of the Most High. And the earth is too, where all of life is offspring of the Most High. We have to persevere through those challenging times. And again, that's how we get to, I believe, the destiny that is out in all of our future.
Steve, what is one thing that you really want the listener to carry forward from our conversation today?
My daily practice, let me talk about it because I think it can be so powerful. And there's so many different forms of meditation and mindfulness and things out there. What I do that just amps me up to the end of the earth, I am amped up all day long. And it's from a daily practice where I'm simply feeling into ultimate reality. I'll call it again, because science is affirming these mystical teachings. This is the daily practice where I'm seeing the whole of the 8 billion people here on the earth and the earth itself, which of course is very challenged, and all of the life on earth. And I'm just seeing healing and I'm seeing health and I'm seeing well-being. And these are things that are described in the Conversations with God books. It says we're one decision away from creating that this is the perfect time for advancement. It even capitalizes these words so you don't lose them. And it says in the very last book, Awaken the Species, it says, the hardest part of this whole journey is behind you. Wow, that was a jaw dropper. So in my daily practice, I feel into this body of which I am a part of, the God of my understanding, who said these things, who said, we've come a long way. We're going to the high ground, health and healing and well-being. It's around the corner. I'm feeling into it, as it was stated 2000 years ago, it's done unto you as you believe. Okay, so not as some maybe or vision board of, oh, I'd love to, but of, no, this is being created now. This is happening now. I believe what was said. We are co-creating this today, and even feeling the path from today to that future where oneness, where conscious living, where the new spirituality is really in its fullness. So I want to just invite people, try that in your daily practice. See how that feels for you, where we're actually creating that new reality today.
How can people tap into that energy, Steve, when they look at the world and there's so much chaos and challenge so many places? It's a little bit like what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? It's a little bit like that, where we see what's happening and then our mind creates ideas and stories about what we see rather than creating what we want to see. How would you suggest people to really tap into the energy of creating what they want rather than what they see?
Two things. One, again, this is the mystical teachings being affirmed by science, is know with certainty. And even I grew up in the Catholic Church, was an altar boy. Go look at the Bible. You're made in the likeness and image of God. Go Google that. Oh, that means that you're offspring of God. This is mainstream stuff here. You are that. When I'm throwing these terms around, sons and daughters of the Most High, you are that. We must understand that and believe that and live into that. And with all of what's going on in the world, why are we here? Of course, we're here to be a part of this great shift, this pivot. There's a personal role that we're all playing. There's nobody here listening now or watching this program that's here by accident. You are here. You are called to be here to hear this conversation Linda and I are having around your invitation to be a catalyst for that. Can you imagine a more beautiful future than where you really give yourself to this, create your own delicious life, and you're supporting this world and future generations by living consciously? I mean, can you imagine? So that's one. Two, where that sounds a little too ambiguous. Okay, Neil, Donald Walsh and I created our own brand new masterclass that we're letting people name their own price on, which is why I'm going to share it. It's called The Art and Science of Living Consciously. It's on the humanitiesteam.org website with a Y, humanitiesteam.org. When you go and look at the art and science of conscious living, you'll see there are 18 modules, and then there's mentoring, this huge, robust program. And then at the bottom, we did something we've never done before, where we say, you can name your own price, okay? So if you don't even have 2 cents to go through this, we invite you to go through for free then, because this is so important right now. What we're talking about is, we know that the challenges are great, microcosm and macrocosm. And now's our moment to really understand with great clarity this invitation of what life can be and how we live into it fully. And boy, Neil and I spent about 9 months working on this masterclass, and we just put it all in. Check that out.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. The website for people who want to know more.
So if you go to humanitystream, STREAM.net, you'll see the streaming platform.
And Steve, tell us a little bit about your book.
Yes, I'd love to. So it's called A New Universal Dream. It was a calling for me to write a book. It was my first book, and it's the true story of me from age 12 to today. And this whole journey that you and I've been talking about, including the founding of Humanities Team and how we've traveled all over the world and how we are now the number one global nonprofit in transformational education. So all of that true story of what I lived through. And what I did in this book, Linda, is I stopped throughout the book to say, wow, did I learn a lot there, where I was hugely challenged. And then I say, and here's how you can use this as a tool in your own life. So the book was written, again, for those of us on the conscious journey. It's a journey with incredible opportunity, but also incredible challenge.
Thank you so much, Steve, for being my guest today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Linda.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Come visit me at thoughtchange.com. Pick up your copy of Learning to Listen. While you're there, check out my program, Alchemy from the Inside Out. And we'll see you again next time. Bye for now.